Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our listeners and also the four individual and diverse comic talents who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We have the irreplaceable Paul Merton, the irrepressible Julian Clary, the unstoppable Derek Nimmo, and the unpredictable Clement Freud. They are going to exercise their wit and their verbal dexterity as they try to speak on the subject I give them in just a minute without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Linda Copley, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll run the stopwatch and blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the magnificent and beautiful Theatre Royal in that wonderful city of Bath. And we are appearing before a wonderful, wonderful, warm Bath audience. And we're going to begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo, and the subject we have on the card in front of me is service. Derek, tell us something about service in this game, starting now.
In 1949, I started my national service in Port Said in Egypt, which wasn't terribly pleasant, because we were sleeping in a tent. But we went across to Famagusta, where I served most gallantly, with no actual anger at all, with No. 9 Wireless Regiment. Sometimes you can't get very good service in restaurants these days. I go and complain. I go through to the kitchens, actually. It is the best thing to do. I went into one the other day, and there was a chap. The cook had taken out his teeth. He was going round the edge.
Julian, you challenged.
He said day twice.
Yes, he said went twice as well.
Went
yes.
Day
so,
twice.
So, well, listen, sorry. Julian. There are 33 seconds available, starting now.
It's not only cars that need a service. I need a service every 6 weeks. I need my oil changed and my tyres pressed to check that everything is in order and nice and plump. It costs about £56 down at my local garage, but you do get a greasy man in overalls thrown in, which is a boon. I recommend it to everyone. Another form of service which I enjoy is colonic irrigation. And that costs £45, but it's worth it.
Poor man's challenge.
Repetition of pounds.
Yes, I'm afraid you mentioned the pounds before. Mm.
Well, if you want to hear more about colonic irrigation...
It was a repetition of the word pound, so that's a correct challenge. Paul, you have a point for that. You have the subject. You have 6 seconds available. Service starting now.
Well, I suppose when we think of service, we like the idea of somebody looking after us to their best ability.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton, who naturally has taken the lead at the end of the round. And Paul, will you begin the next round? The subject, missing letters. Tell us something about those in this game, starting now.
The letter that informs me I've been made a Knight of the Realm seems to have disappeared somewhere within the bowels of the post office. Equally, the missive telling me that I have won several...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of telling.
Yes. Informing the first time.
Incorrect challenge, Paul. So keep the subject. 48 seconds available. Missing letters, starting now.
Well, I'm glad that I have...
Derek Nimmo
challenge. Repetition of well.
Oh, that's a toughie, isn't it? You did say well before. Yes, well, if you're going to challenge on those little words, I hope you'll resist the temptation, but on this occasion I have to be fair within the rules of Just a Minute and say he did repeat well. 48 seconds available, missing letters with you, Derek.
I noticed there were some missing letters, and one of the posters advertising a play here the other day. It was said shopping, and then 3 asterisks and ing. I imagine that the missing ones were AST, because I can think of no other reason why this would be put up in this marvellous... One theatre.
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree with the hesitation, Clement. So you have a correct challenge and a point in 31 seconds now on missing letters starting now.
I went to the attic in search of the alphabet and found P. So the missing letters were A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Repetition, W.
You thought well was a tough challenge.
Well, was a wicked challenge. 12 seconds, Derek, on missing letters starting now.
So I went into this very old Anderson shelter and I found some letters from the Red Cross asking me to buy a Spitfire during the war, and I hadn't seen these for some 35 years. I laid them...
So it was Derek Nimmo speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's equal now in the lead with Paul Merton. Clement, your turn to be in the subject, Night at the Opera. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
This conjures up visions of Donald Sinden at Don Giovanni, John Gielgud at Così fan tutti.
Paul Merton challenge.
No, it doesn't. I don't have either one of those visions.
Clement, I disagree with the challenge. You have 52 seconds. Night at the Opera, 52 seconds starting now.
There was rather a good Marx Brothers film called Nights at the Opera. Groucho, Harpo...
Paul Merton challenge.
Well, it's very picky, but it was called Night at the Opera.
No, it was called A Night at the Opera, but it doesn't really matter. But it was not... You're quite right. It was not Knights of the Opera.
Knights of the Opera.
A Night at the Opera, it was called. But that's a correct
Different
challenge.
Different film.
Night at the Opera with you, Paul, starting now.
Well, as Clement says, it is indeed perhaps the most famous of all Marx Brothers films, made in 1935 by the film company called MG.
Clement Freud.
Two films.
There were two films, I'm afraid.
I was thinking about the other M, actually.
Yeah. 38 seconds. Night at the Opera, Clement, 38 seconds, starting now.
Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer is actually what Paul Merton should have said, talking about Night at the Opera.
Yes, Paul, let's hear it.
That was a sample of Harpo's dialogue. Hesitation.
Yes, that's right. 29 seconds, Night at the Opera, starting now.
Well, it was a very successful...
Clement Fonchon.
He said well, yeah, again.
That was in the last round. That was in the last round.
It was in the last round, he said, well.
Yeah, didn't say it this time.
28 seconds, Night at the Opera with you, Paul, starting now.
I went to see a...
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Wide.
Didn't say well. He usually says well.
All right. Give Clement a bonus point for that. Paul gets a point for being interrupted. Keeps the subject. 26 seconds. Night at the Opera starting now.
About 20 years ago, I went to see a production of The Magic Flute by the English National Opera. I found it quite an amusing show, but people around me were hissing and looking at me very strangely because I dared to laugh at some of the jokes which I think are inherently there within the opera. It's known as a comic opera, so why don't people laugh? That's what I was thinking to myself. But it's strange the people who go to opera where...
Derek Nimmo. Challenge.
A repetition of people.
Yes, you had too many people at your opera. I'm sorry, Paul. So Derek's cleverly got in with 4 seconds to go on the subject. Night at the Opera, Derek, starting now.
When someone gets stabbed in the back and instead of dying, sings.
So, Derek Nimmo, speaking as a whistle Wayne, gained that extra point. He's in second place, just behind Paul Merton, just ahead of Clement Freud. And then comes Julian Clary, who will begin the next round. And Julian, very apt for this beautiful city of Bath, Pump Room. Tell us something. Why they should laugh before you begin, Julian, I have no idea. But please tell us something about the subject in this game, starting now.
Pump Room is somewhere where, obviously, you can go to pump in private. George Michael would have been good to find himself coming across one of those, but it wasn't to be. In the 17th century, people would just pump wherever they were, wherever they were standing. They'd just get on with it. Nowadays, of course, there are these little private chalets where you can go in. Generally, you go in one at a time, but sometimes it's quite crowded in there. When there was a blackout in 1985, it was...
challenge.
Hesitation.
I think there was a little hesitation there, and you said the blackout...
And I'd repeated as well.
I was riveted, actually.
32 seconds for you, Paul, on Pump Room, starting now.
I remember walking into a pump room that services the Tower Bridge in London. If you go into that particular establishment, you'll find a great big engine and a massive pump pumping away in the corner. It is the most extraordinary piece of technology. I think it's only been open for about the last 10 years or so, because before that, people had no idea how the monument that I referred to in our great capital city actually opened when ships came through. People thought perhaps it was a bloke with a great big wheel that used to turn it, or was it...
Yes, you kept going so well, but with 5 seconds ago, Clement challenged. Pump room starting now.
The pump room in Bath was famed for serving syllabub and posset, also delicacies.
So Clement was then speaking as the whistle went. He's now just behind Paul Merton, who's still in the lead. And Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, the pictures. Oh, we've had a reference already to the cinema. Let's have the pictures now. 60 seconds starting now.
My most memorable early experience of going to the pictures was the Saturday morning pictures. I used to love the series they used to show, mainly from the 1940s. There was one called Captain Marvel, which I loved. Involved an American, rather weedy-looking individual who had to say the magic word Shazam and then immediately transformed himself into this caped superhero. It was one of those episodic films where you had to go back week in and the next 7 days afterwards to find out what actually happened. And it was a bit of a con because you'd see at the end of one particular episode a car going off the cliff. You'd go back to see what happened and then you'd see that there was no car going off the cliff. You can't help but repeating it, really.
Yes, you were seeing too much, I'm afraid. So Derek got in first. 22 seconds left. Pictures with you, Derek, starting
now. It's interesting that when in 1911 from the Louvre the Mona Lisa was stolen, for the next 6 months until it was recovered, more people went to see the empty space than ever went to see the actual picture. I don't know what that means.
Julian, you've challenged.
He repeated C.
So, well, listen, Julian. And you have 12 seconds to tell us something about the pictures, starting now.
I don't often go to the pictures because I don't like people sitting behind me.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Repetition of I.
Oh.
Oh. I think you can tell from the audience reaction they do not want me to allow that challenge. Julian, I'm not going to allow the challenge. You have 9 seconds and a point, of course, to continue on. The pictures are starting now.
Unless you're sitting in the back row by an exit, there will be punters behind you who are probably going to breathe and exhale all over you. Then as you breathe in...
So, Julian Clary was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point for doing so. Clement, will you take the next subject? It is heavy weather. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
It would be very difficult to weigh weather, but sleet, snow...
Poor challenge, yes.
No weather.
No weather. Hesitation. 54 seconds are left. Heavy weather, Paul, starting now.
I suppose you could measure weather in terms of atmospheres. Low, thunderous clouds would create a rather heavy atmospheric within the place that you're acting to be. There is something about the weather that charms and pleases us because the sun has come out in the last couple of days and suddenly everybody's walking around with a slightly brighter smile on their face. You can see it in hot countries where their temperaments are Latin. Over here, our temperament...
Julian, he did...
Yes.
Temperament.
Yes. Yeah.
I know, he's looking all pleased with himself. Yeah. Hush my mouth.
No, no, you're right to be keen, but I'm afraid he managed to say temperaments instead of temperament. 27 seconds are still available for you, Paul, on heavy weather, starting now.
There used to be a jazz group called Weather Report who were particularly popular in the 1970s, and some of their music could be described as rather heavy. One track, I think, lasted about 11 minutes and 57 seconds long, and a lot of people...
Clement Freud challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
You can't last so many minutes and so many seconds long.
Oh.
It's a grammatic deviation.
Yes, I agree. It is deviation from the normal grammar that we use, but it's...
Oh, well, if you're going to start challenging on that, I might as well shut up.
But the point is that we do allow colloquialisms in the show, but if someone challenges within the rules of just a minute, it is a correct challenge of deviation. So on this occasion, if he's going to challenge in that respect, others didn't, but he did. So I say 13 seconds available for you, Clement, on heavy weather, starting now.
It's extraordinary how many people listen to the weather report on the British Broadcasting Service or the many other channels which radios, which used to be called wireless sets, pick up daily, if not nightly.
So Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went now, has moved into a lead equal in points and alongside Paul Merton and Julian Clary. Your turn to begin. The subject, doodles. I don't know whether you're a doodler or not, but can you talk on the subject? 60 seconds starting now.
Doodles was the name of Barbara Cartland's favourite Pekingese. She adored this little dog because it used to roll over and she would scratch its stomach and then its eyes would pop out and she could wear them as earrings when she went about her business, making her many television appearances and opening supermarkets, which she does on the quiet because she needs the cash. She doesn't get out as much as she used to, but it's nice for her. She takes her handbag with her, and in that handbag she's got her...
They love it when you doodle away, but I'm afraid you repeated the handbag. Derek got in first, 32 seconds. Doodles with you, Derek, starting now.
Doodles are rather aimless things, and that's why, during the last war, bugs were called doodle things, because they went in a very random way over the countryside. Nobody knew where they came
from. Paul Merton Challenge.
We have in the middle of that repetition of things.
Yes. No? Hmm? Yes, you did. Anyway. Well, the audience are listening as well. 23 seconds for you, Paul. Doodles starting now.
There is a science, in fact it's nothing of the kind, called graphology, where people are meant to be able to define character from the various marks you make across pieces of paper. But the trouble is you can't find any two experts in this particular art who agree on what the loop on a G means. And so if you were to look at, say, somebody drawing a spaceship on a pad and you say, ah, well, can I work...
So Paul Merton, with his doodles, kept going to the whistle when gained that extra point and has gone back into the lead. Derek Nimmo, will you begin the next round? And the subject is crescent. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I suppose where we are now, one immediately thinks of the glorious Royal Crescent designed by young...
Julian Child.
Hesitation.
He forgot the designer momentarily. 54 seconds are available for you, Julian, on crescent, starting now.
The crescent moon is my favourite lunar phase. It's absolutely beautiful and it hangs in the sky like perfume, I always say, but then I take a lot of drugs. The full moon is also quite spectacular, and I know if you live in the country that it's a real boon because it lights up the roads, otherwise you can't see where you're going in this part of the world.
Clement challenged.
Repetition of moon.
Yes.
Some time ago, but yes. I wished him to go on for a bit.
Yes. Clement, 32 seconds for you on crescent, starting now.
Crescent is technically the English name for croissant, which is one of the all-time great pieces of bakery. Patissiers from around the world produce these confections, which I think are probably best eaten sliced horizontally.
Paul Merton Challenge.
I agree, they are probably best eaten.
So what is... your challenge within
well,
the three...
Also, I don't think croissant is French for crescent.
It is.
Is it?
Yep. Mm. But you have the right to think what you will.
I wasn't allowed to do French at school, so it's all a mystery to me.
Right. We enjoyed the challenge, so because it was rather clever and unusual, and we give you a bonus for that, Paul.
That's very kind.
Clement gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps crescent. 15 seconds available, starting now.
Nash was one of the great Georgian architects whose crescents, especially those in the royal city of Bath, but also in Regent's Park...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
He didn't build any crescents in Bath.
Didn't say he did.
Yes, you did. Especially his crescent in the royal city of Bath, you said.
You did convey that he built a crescent here in Bath.
No, not if you listen carefully.
I think that actually, Derek, you are correct, and you have the subject of crescent. 6 seconds available, starting now.
At the siege of Byzantium, Philip actually put the earthworks under the wall, and they were suddenly seen by the light of a crescent moon.
So we have an interesting situation. Derek Nimmo has now moved forward after that last point into second place. Equal leaders are Clement Freud and Paul Merton, and Julian Clary is in third place. Paul Merton, your turn to begin. The subject, pillow talk. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I never indulge in pillow talk, but I was once told by Zsa Z. Gabor, the famous actress, that her definition of a housekeeper was somebody who kept the house, and that's how she felt.
Julian challenged.
House?
Yes, house.
Housekeeper is one word.
Oh, housekeeper. It's right, housekeeper. I'm so sorry. Yes, you're right. Housekeeper is one word.
Yes.
Not even hyphenated.
No.
So I'm sorry. Well, listen.
And may it never be in our lifetime.
and you have a point, and you have 49 seconds. Pillow talk starting now.
I've got a marvellous idea for a new Channel 5 programme called Pillow Talk, where various pillows get together and have a bit of a chat. Or you could call it Duvet Conversation, where things that have been on the bed can say, oh, you never guess who I had the line underneath me last night.
Julian Challenge.
Well, it's no good having that idea because it's already been done. There was a show called Pillow Talk years ago. Who used to do it?
I don't know. You can't remember.
Oh, well,
it's time it was revived.
I was on it. You had to get into... I think I got into bed with... Can I say the word Gary Glitter?
Yes.
I think it was him.
Yes, but, Bruce.
But only for the show and not in reality.
No, it was light entertainment.
Yes. Julian, yes. He was deviating in the sense that he said he was going to invent a new show called Pillow Talk, and of course a show has been created called Pillow Talk, which you remember. In fact, you were on it. So you have the subject, and there are 34 seconds. Pillow Talk starting now.
I appeared on a show called Pillow Talk many years ago in the early days of my career, and I don't believe I got paid for it.
During the challenge.
Take it away.
Lack of remuneration. You can get paid. Pause.
What's that?
Pause, stop.
He did pause, I know, but anybody didn't get paid in our profession. It's entitled to pause, but... I think as he hasn't played the game nearly as much as you, it was just a mild hesitation. I think we'll forgive him on this occasion and say... Julian, keep going on Pillow Talk. I'm sure the audience want to hear more about your Pillow Talk. 25 seconds starting now.
I don't remember much about my appearance, but then I've got this problem.
Derek Nimmerchance.
Two appearances.
You had an appearance before, I'm afraid, Julian.
Oh, it was repeated.
Yes, repeated, yes.
But as he wasn't paid...
there wasn't actually a repeat fee.
There was no repeat. Well, it was a repeat because it was twice he didn't get paid. Derek, correct
chance. Can you get paid not once or do you get paid not twice? Pardon my grammar, but there we are.
It doesn't matter, Paul. I enjoy your grammar. 22 seconds. Derek, with you.
She sends her best regards, by the way.
they create this fictitious private life for me in the thing. Derek, you had a correct challenge. There are 22 seconds for you on Pillow Talk starting now.
The real growth area for Pillow Talk is, of course, China. There are over a billion of the devils lying on pillows every night waiting to have a little chat. I try to avoid it myself. I collect earplugs on British Airways, and so when I get into bed at night, I say farewell to my bride, pop them in, and I don't hear another thing till the alarm goes in the morning, which is very loud. That's why I can hear it above any other noise generating the pillow.
Right. Derek Nimmer was speaking as the whistle went then. He's moved forward. He's equal in second place with Clement Freud. 1 point behind our leader, Paul Merton. But coming up fast behind is Julian Clary.
So I like it.
There's a surprise.
No. So we've come to the last round and the last subject. Oh, the subject's bad hair day. It's Julian's turn to begin. Julian, off you go. 60 seconds starting now.
There's no knowing when you might have a bad hair day. Gloria Hunniford has been having a bad hair decade for the past 10 years. It's most unfortunate, but if my hair is very bad, then I believe in corporal punishment. I like to keep it in detention, maybe whip it within an inch of its root if it's very, very naughty.
Derek Challenge.
I'm sorry, but very, very is repetitive.
Very, very. No, actually, you've got to be fair. He did say very, very. You can't allow him just to have everything his own way all through.
There is an echo in here.
I know. So, Derek, correct challenge. 39 seconds. Bad hair day starting now.
If I think of bad hair day, I immediately imagine Robin Cook. He must get up every morning and there's bad hair all over his visage. And then he looks up at the top of his head and, gosh, what a discomfiture it must be for him. Somebody said to me, what's he going to do when his looks go? I really don't know. But he must have a lot of bad hair there. And if you go to the average salon...
Clement Freud, a challenge.
Repetition of go.
Yes, you've been going too much, yes. So I'm glad you got in, Clement, with 15 seconds to go on this subject. It is bad hair day. Clement Freud, starting now.
I would simply like to state that a bad hair day is better than a no hair day. It's rather like halitosis. If you have tall, it is preferable to halitosis. Halitosis.
Oh, wait a minute. Paul, challenge.
Repetition of halitosis.
Halitosis, yes. Paul, you've cleverly got in with 1 second to go on. That was clever. I don't see why you should mock him. Right. Bad hair day, starting now.
Bugs Bunny was walking through the woods.
So, Paul Merton, speaking as a whistleblower, gained that extra point for doing so. Let me give you the final situation. Julian Clerier, who gave such incredible value, which this audience here loved. At his, I mean, it was this special Bath audience who requested you to come back, you know, here.
How kind.
It wasn't this particular lot, because obviously we had a different audience when we were here before.
I don't mind coming back. This is where I buy my drugs. Paracetamol. Junior.
Julian, you finished only just in fourth place. Derek Nimmo, who often wins, finished in second place, but very fairly, because their contribution was so magnificent from all three. Out in the lead together were Clement Freud and Paul Merton, so we say they are our equal winners this week. So it only remains for me to say... thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud. I must thank Linda Cobley for helping me keep the score, blowing her whistle so delicately and magnificently. Also our producer, Chris Neal, who makes sure it all works and comes together and goes out on time. And also the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, who thought of this and we all enjoy playing it so much. So on behalf of the four players of the game, and thank you to this lovely, delightful, warm, vibrant audience here in the Theatre Royal in Bath. Thank you for the warmth of your reception. We will remember our visit in Bath with great, great affection from all of us here and from me, Nicholas Parsons. Goodbye, thank you, and see you next time. We're on the airplane. Just a minute. Yes.